The Mishnah, beginning of the third parak, begins by dealing with each of the Arba Aminim in sequence. Many of the Pesulim are the same by all of them, not all of them. Obviously, Nifritzu Olav and Nifritzu Olav aren't relevant when it comes to Esra. And also, Chazazu Sarubo is not relevant when it comes to Lulav. So the Mishnah begins with first the mitzvah of Lulav. Lulav HaGazal VaYavesh Pasul. You have a lulav which is stolen, or if it is dried out, so then it's no good for the mitzvah. And pasul is good, means no good even b'dieved. Shel Asherer She'lir HaNidachas is also pasul. We'll talk about, not this week, but subsequently, what the reason behind this is, but I know some people were discussing it, so I'll mention very briefly. The issue when it comes to Asherer and Ir HaNidachas is that both of these are things where there's a mitzvah sreifa, and because lulav has a shear, there's a certain requisite size, therefore we say michtas kata shira. It's as if it's already, since it's omei the sreifa, it's supposed to be destroyed, it's as if it's burned already. The Gemara points out that this is not true by Avodah Zarah, a regular Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara's explanation is that it depends on what kind of Avodah Zarah we're talking about. Some Avodah Zarah has potential. Some Avodah Zarah has no potential. Avodah Zarah Shel Goy has the potential to be used because a Goy can be Mevatel as Avodah Zarah. A Jew cannot be Mevatel as Avodah Zarah. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the third parak points out that the Pasuk in the Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, when David, in Parakeh, I think, in Shmuel Beis, when he fights with the Plishtim, and the Plishtim flee, and it says, Vayanichu Shemes Atzabehem, they left their idols there. Vayisa'im David va'anashav, and David and his men carried them off. In Divrei Hayamim, where the same story is told, it says the Plishtim left their idols behind, and Vayomer David vayisarfu ba'ish. David gave the order, and they were burned in fire. So the question of what is pshat here? Some Rishonim suggest that the word masa can mean to burn. The Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah imasi masi masuos. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah suggests no, that actually, although it's not in sequence, they reflect two different stages of David's conquest of the Philistines. In the earlier stage, the Gemara distinguishes between Kan Kodem Sheba Itai and Kan La'achar Sheba Itai. Itai is Itai Hagiti, who according to the Gemara here was not Jewish. He wasn't a convert. So Itai Hagiti wasn't Jewish. So before Itai joined David's army, there was Vayomer David Vayisarfu Ba'esh. When they found the Avodah Zarah, the valuable of the Zaras of the Goyim, they had to destroy them because they were Asur Hana. Once Itai joined the army, so he was placed in charge of the Mevatel Avodah Zarah division, because the Goy is able to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, Shelo v'shel Goy Acher. However, the Avodah Zarah of a Jew has no bittul. So the Gemara here says that Asherah Shel Moshe has no bittul. Asherah Shel Moshe means that the Asherah trees from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Canaanites worship, were in fact Asur B'hana forever. Why? Because it's Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael. So what is Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael? The Jews didn't worship that Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara in the fourth parak in Avodah Zarah points out that, of course, it's not that the Jews worship the Asherah, but the Goyim worship the Asherah with the consent of the Jewish people. How do they worship with the consent of the Jewish people? And the Jews made the Egel. They said, Eil Elohecha Yisrael. They wanted a lot of guards. And therefore, they were happy with all of Avodah Zarah. So even though Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people from the time of Avraham Avinu, and normally when you deal with so therefore it should have been impossible for the Asherah trees to be Asur, because the Canaanim would have no ability to make them Asur. But the Gemara says, because the Jewish people wanted them, were happy that they worshiped the Zarah, so once a guy worships the Jews of Avodah Zarah, Bishus Yisrael, that's called Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, and it has no business. That's what the Gemara means when it says here, a couple of blot later, it says Asherah Shel Moshe. So if you're dealing with Avodah Zarah, which has bittul, we don't say Michtas Kata Shiura, that the shear is gone, because the status of Azara can be wiped away, and it certainly will be mutter for a hedyot. It's not normally mutter la gavoa, but it's mutter la hedyot. If it's Asherah Shel Moshe, if it's one that effectively belonged to the Jewish people, like Yasheras in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, and yet became Asur Mishem Avodah Zarah. So then, there is no bittul for Avodah Zarah, the shear is forever. That the shear is missing because it's omen lisarav. Okay, fine. Well, the Mishnah continues. Miktam Rosho Nifritzu Olav Pasul. If the head of the lulav got Lulav was decapitated, or if the Olam were Nifritzu, Rashi explains, Tosfos disagrees, but Rashi explains Nifritzu Olav means that the Olam were pulled, you look at a Lulav, so a Lulav has a spine, and then it's got a lot of sort of leaves running up that spine. When the Lulav is young, so the branches stand at attention, but as the Lulav gets older on the tree, what happens to the leaves is they open up. So Nifritzu Olav means not just that the leaves are opened up, they actually break off the stem, and you just sort of tie them to the bottom. That's the way Rashi explains. And Nifritzu Olav is possible. Nifritzu Olav is kosher. The leaves just sort of spread, but they're still attached at their base to the spine, so that's acceptable. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yagdenu Mumala, he said that in such a case you have to at least to tie it atop. And finally, the Mishnah says, Tzine har harbarzel or ksheiros. It's a particular species of lulav where apparently the leaves did not go very, they were very short leaves. They covered the spine, but they didn't sort of go much higher up. And lulav sheish bar shlosha tfachim kedin lanane abo kasher. A lulav requires three tfachim. We actually say that the Mishnah should be understood as shlosha tfachim ukedin lanane abo. The shlosha tfachim of the lulav is connected to the three tfachim of the arava and hadas. And on top of that, you want one more tefach where you can, where it can sort of stand out, and you can see the lulav sticking out when it waves. Okay. Now, yes, Morty.
Doesn't that sound like it's a bidyabad statement?
What? So you're correct. The formulation is a formulation that could be regarded as a bidyabad, but really, what it simply means is that it's a minimum shear. Right, you can have a lulav. The Rambam writes that I assume it's from the Gemara. You can have the arba minim to be sort of as big as you would like them to be. The shiurim are given is minimum. So I don't know. If we say haram arba haris and meshubach. At a certain point, maybe it's not so mahudar, but that's probably formulated this way because it's saying this is the minimum shiur that's kasher. No.
Wouldn't shlosha tefachim de lananeav seem to mean that it needs to be three tefachim above the hadassim? Because you need three.
So, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't looked at the Gemara. I think they read it as shlosha tefachim ukede lananeav. Okay. So now the question. Yes. That could also be. I don't think anybody would say that if you have, let's say, four tefachim, nobody would say it's only bidyev. Okay. Now, the question, we're going to talk about Gadol Metz. I just want to talk about Yavesh for a moment. Rashi says that Yavesh is no good because the Be'ina Mitzvah Muhuderes Lechseva Anveinu as a Keli Veveinu. It sounds like it's Hidur Mitzvah. Rashi's statement is a little bit odd because the Gemara itself tells us why. The Gemara says not Hidur Mitzvah, but it says Hadar Be'ina. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says that if it were only because Zeh Keli Veveinu, so then it would be only pasul lechatchila, b'di'evet would be kasher, but a lulav hayavesh is not even b'di'evet. So Tosfos says the actual makar is this, the Gemara says, which is hadar. Rashi presumably knew that, and it would seem that Rashi must understand that there's sort of two different kinds of zekeh b'di'evet, one of which is ma'akeh, one of which is not ma'akeh. Okay. Anyway, we'll come back to some of the other details in the Mishnah we get in the Gemara, but I want to now to focus on the one that's front and center, which is the question of gadol. The Gemara begins with a statement called Pasik V'tani Lo Shna B'Yom Tov Rishon V'Lo Shna B'Yom Tov Sheni. The Mishnah says that a lulav gazul and yavesh are pasul, and obviously that implies it doesn't make a difference whether it's Yom Tov Rishon or Yom Tov Sheni. So the truth is, it's a very bit of something of a difficult diuk. How does the Gemara know Pasik V'tani? Maybe the Mishnah is talking about Yom Tov Rishon. Now remember, in fact, although it doesn't feel that way, you essentially have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel as to how to read the Mishnah. Is the Mishnah talking about all of Yom Tov, or only talking about Yom Tov Rishon? You get such an arichos at the beginning, and you only get this sort of Shmuel towards the end, that you forget this is really just a straight-up machlokas. And Tosfos is bothered by this question. How is it that you can be medayik from the Mishnah that it applies to all of Yom Tov? Now, there is a simple answer. The Gemara gives the answer. The Gemara on Lamed Amud Aleph says that from the fact that the Mishnah chooses Gozel and doesn't choose Sha'ul, and we know that it implies that Sha'ul might be kosher. And when is Sha'ul kosher? So Sha'ul is kosher on Yom Tov Sheni. And we're saying in that case, where we don't mention Sha'ul as being kosher, as being pasul, in that case, guzl is still possible. So that would imply, it applies to all of Yom Tov. Now you can like or not like that deal. But the Pashtus, the Tosus thinks that the Gemara, Tosus doesn't think that that's how the Gemara knows that the diuk is to make this diuk, because the Gemara hasn't said it yet. So Tosus goes on to say what he says. I want to just suggest al pi pshat, and this is not something you typically would, I don't expect to hear me say, but you're not to strictly heard said. I think you have to think about for a moment how the Gemara is constructed. The Pashtus is, in terms of the construction of the Gemara, is that the opening part of this Gemara is what we call the stem of the Gemara. It's the anonymous layer of the Gemara, which is often formulated as the last part of the sugya. Now, what you really have originally, the earlier material, is you have a Mishnah, you have a Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, whether it applies only to Yom Tov Rishon, or it applies to all of Yom Tov. You have the Kasha that's asked by the later Amoraim on Shmuel from the Mishnah, which would imply that the Mishnah is talking about Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. And the Pashtus is that the framers of the Sugya, the editors of the Sugya, wanted to set it up, so they're basically drawing upon conclusions that are known later in the Sugya. This is not an unusual thing. There are many cases in Shas that we've shown and we'll point out already, where the Gemara has an Ibaye, and they'll present what the Nekudas HaSheela is. And then you read on in the Gemara, and it doesn't make any sense, because the Gemara later, eventually, when it gets to the Maskana, the Nekudas HaSheela is what the Gemara says at the beginning. But it's clear in the Shach of the Tarya as you go through that that wasn't the way the Gemara originally understood the Nekuda Sash'eila. But what you're seeing is the work of the editors who went later, the editors of the Sugya, put what in fact Lamaskana Sagamara was the Shaila, what was the question of the Amora, they presented to Tzadim, even though initially when the question is asked in the Shach of the Tarya, the Gemara doesn't know of it yet. So I think the Pashtus here is that the Gemara says Kapasav Gitani, Dafka is drawing in fact upon what is said on Lamed Amin Aleph. That's what's being presented, because it's already the summary of the Sugya. You find something as a sort of broader phenomenon in general, many Mesephthas, it's not true I think in Sukkah, but there are many sometimes Prakim, or even a Mesephta opens that way, the first parak opens, where the opening Sugya is actually, this is well known, the Shura Gaon points out that very often opening sugyos are later, some of them are Rabbanan Savaroi. Famous sugya, the first sugya of Kiddushin, is assumed to be Rabbanan Savaroi. And one of the things that you sometimes see very often in opening sugyos of a Mesefta or of a Perek is that many of the issues that are hashed out later in the Perek are already presented as conclusions in the opening sugya. The reason that's the case is because even though it appears first in the order of the Gemara, chronologically speaking, in composition, it actually is the last thing that's composed. And when it's composed by the Mesadre Hashas, they already know what the Maskana is, and it's being incorporated earlier. There are a lot of examples. This I think, is a very simple one, but it would explain, perhaps, why the Gemara makes the Dia Kafasa Tekani. How did it know? The answer is exactly the fact that the Mishnah says Gosel, and it doesn't say Shaul, which would imply that this din is, in some ways, almost Dafka on Yom Tov Sheni, but applies to the latter days of Yom Tov, and certainly to the first day of Yom Tov. Either way, whatever the source of Kafasik Tatani is, so the Gemara says that Kafasik Tatani lo shaviyam tavishu and lo shaviyam sheni, bishlama yavesh hadar ve'inan v'leka. We understand that when it comes to lulava yavesh, it's no good because it's not hadar. Ela gozul, bishlama yom tavishu and besiv lachem, yishelachem, ela v'yom tav sheni amayla. So the halamin of the Gemara here is a little bit difficult to understand. Why does the Gemara assume that the psul of the requirement of hadar will akachtem lochem bayom harishon pre eitz hadar kapos tamarim? Right? Why does the Gemara assume that the requirement of pre eitz hadar applies? Of course, mistama applies to all yom tov, but the requirement of lochem mishalachem only applies on the first day. So Tosus suggests, Alva, are you?
It's because of the breaking.
So you want Tosus suggests that maybe you're going to say that, and remember, for right now, the way the Rishonim handle this, the difference between Yom Rishon and the Yom Acherim is Daraisa versus Darabonah. Theoretically, in the Mikdash, Lulav Koshiva is Daraisa, but we're not working with Lulav Daraisa here. We're looking at Lulav Bigvulin, Yom Rishon Daraisa, and the rest of the Dinim are Darabonah. So why is it that it makes sense that Lachem only applies on the first day, but Hadar applies all the time? So Tosfos first raises the possibility, maybe it has to do with the word on the Pasuk, that everything before Bayom Harishon applies only Bayom Rishon. Ulakachtem, Lachem, Bayom Rishon. So anything that you learn from Ulakachtem and anything that you learn from Lachem will only be Bayom Rishon. Then, Pri'ei Tadar, Kapos Marim, everything after that applies even on the rest of the days. The problem is that Tosfos points out that there are a couple of dinim. There are a couple of dinim that are learned from Ulekachtem, which one of which he thinks applies on all of Yom Tov, and that so one din that's from Ulekachtem is they're both learned from I think the same line of Drasha. Ulekachtem is read as Lekicha Tama. Some of you may recognize this Drasha, maybe not from Zvachim. The rule is that if any Kohanim here? No Kohanim, okay. So any of us commoners are Azarim. If we do Avodah in the Mikdash, so most of our Avodah is going to be possible, except for maybe Shechita. But Azar, an Azar who does Avodah in the Mikdash is Chayiv Misa, but only for four Avodas. And the criteria for the Avodah has to be Va'avatem, it has to be Avodah Kama, it has to be a completing Avodah. So if Azar does Zrikas Hadam, I don't think he's chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. If the zar is machtir on the mizbeach or is machtir the ketores, I forget what all four avodas are. It has to be avoda tama. Then the zar is chayiv. The avoda is not only psula, but the zar is chayiv for that. So here, l'kachtem has to be l'kipa tama. But one thing they learn from that is that if you take a bite out of your esrog on the second day, if you take a bite out of your esrog, it's no good because it's not tam. It's not complete. But it seems that Chanina held that Rav Chanina took a bite out of his esrog on the second day, and then he picked it up and he made a bracha on the esrog. So apparently he held that the requirement of Lekicha Tama doesn't apply to the rest of the days. And that would be very fine, according to Tosfos. The problem is there's another requirement of Lekicha Tama. The Mishnayos and the Nachos, at the end of the third and being in the fourth parak, list a series of mitzvos where, in some cases, a mitzvah is ma'akev another, and in some cases, mitzvah not ma'akev another. Supposing you show up in shul this morning, Mr. Clapper, and you realize that somebody, some crazy person, stole your tefillin shel rosh. And you only have a tefillin shel yad and your tefillin there. So what do you do? You say, oh, I can't put it in the rosh, but my bother. The answer is no. So the rule is that the tefillin shel rosh and the tefillin shel yad are not ma'akev zese. They're not ma'akev zese, and therefore, if you only have one, that's the one that you put on. Some fiend went into your tefillin shel rosh, which is four compartments, and he just carefully stole one of the four parshios in your tefillin, and you just didn't have a ha'yachi yiviyacha in there. So then, the arba parshio should be tefillin ma'akev zese. Same thing is said about the tzitzis. The four tzitzis are ma'akev zeseh, but the tchelis and the lavan are not ma'akev zeseh. That's, by the way, because of those mishnayos are there derech agav, because of something in menachos. And because of that, most of the laws of tilin and tchelis actually are in Maseches Menachos, precisely because of the tangent in those mishnayos. But anyway, the Mishnah there says, the arba minim shebelulav ma'akev zeseh. Let's say I have an estrog, and I have a hadas, and I have a better than a lulav. So do I, you know, pick up the three? Do I maybe take a baseball bat and sort of tie, you know, the aravos and hadas into the baseball bat with the esrog? The answer is no. You need lekicha tama. You need all arba minim. So Tosfos says misama, the requirement that the arba minim ma'akev zeseh doesn't apply only on Yom Rishon. We don't say Yom Rishon, you can't substitute a baseball bat for lulav. But after Yom Rishon, no such thing. Oh, through all of Chag HaSukkos, all 7 days, you're taking the arba minim. If you don't have one of the arba minim, you don't do the mitzvah because the arba minim ma'akin says, and that's for learning from ulekachtem lekicha tama. In which case, that word comes before Bayom Rishon, like ulekachtem lochem. So why should it be that that is required all 7 days, but the requirement of lochem, the Gemara assumes, is not all 7 days. So Tosfos lemaskana, so it doesn't think in the end alpha that it's based upon the order in the pasuk. That was his first attempt. He suggests that certain things are mi'ikar mitzvah and certain things are not mi'ikar mitzvah, and things that are really mi'ikar mitzvah, as opposed to sort of just a particular requirement, an ancillary requirement, things that are ikar mitzvah apply all 7 days, things that are sort of an ancillary requirement are not required except for the first day.
I mean, I know this would cause some problems, but perhaps something that would go the other way. The word stopping Joshua with lachem bayom ha'ishon for you on the first day, and then we have
dresses
like that. It's not uncommon.
Yes.
Okay.
All
right. All right.
What's that? Right, correct. One way or the other, you're stuck.
Well, unless you say that it's a winter's devon.
Well, that's what Tosfos effectively says. Tosfos says that once the rest of Sukkot is only the Rabban, on things that they didn't think were really ikar are don't apply, right? Because you're forced into that because Lukachtem teaches you two different dinim, one which does apply, one which doesn't apply.
Okay, fine. That is the discussion in the bottom process.
So the question is, the Gemara says, why is it that Lulav HaGazal is pasul not only on Yom Tov Rishon, but also on Yom Tov Sheni? And Mistama, we assume Yom Tov Sheni here doesn't mean Yom Tov Sheni only, it means the remaining 6 days. Just as a side note, it's one of the interesting things. I'm sure this has been said, but I've never seen it written explicitly this way. Do we make a Shehiyanu on the second day of Sukkot, on the Lulav and Esrog?
No.
No, why not? So when we blow shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the year that we blow both days, do we make a Shehiyanu? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. When the second night of Sukkot, when you sit in the Sukkot and you make a leishay, do you make a Shehiyanu the second night? What do you say, Rabbi Osai? Of course you do. In fact, there's a famous question around it that always leaves me confused, which is why it's the one time I always need a venture. I have to read the small print. Because we reverse the order. One night we say leishay, and then we make the Shehiyanu. The other night we say Shehiyanu and make the leishay. If we didn't say Shehiyanu the second night, it would be easy. Right? You just make a leishay basakha. So we do. So it's Sheikh Dima, why not? So why don't we make a Shehiyanu when we take the lulav on the second day then? Why not? Arthur?
They actually did it anyway before the
No, but it's a Sefer Yom. I know we know the calendar, but we treat the second day Sefer Yom, we make brachos like that, right? There's the Chacham Masaki to make brachos on Yom Tov Sheni. We're in Shabbos, and Maman Lincoln has a question, when do you make a bracha on a Safek or not? Yeah?
You make bracha on Yom Tov Sheni, you should lay a kalav in it. But in this case, you have to take the lulav anyway, because it's a Sefer Yom, and you're going to give bracha on a kalav anyway.
So that is one of the reasons given the Gemara, but I think there's a much simpler response. So we sit in Chutz La'aretz, you're supposed to sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, so just get that straight. I'm not telling you to tear your family apart, but when you become the Maradasar of my shul that I added, tells the story that the Rav used to tell his Talmidim that generally speaking you should always follow your parents' Minhagim, except for when it comes to sitting in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Even if they don't sit in the Sukkah, you sit in the Sukkah anyway. So he said that the first year they were living, you know, they weren't at home for Sukkot. They were living in the apartments, probably in Westgate. And he was all prepared to sit in the Sukkot. And then somehow his parents ended up coming to Yom Tov, and he just couldn't bring himself to do it. So now, every few years, again, Rabbi Adler gets up and gives a shiur explaining, trying to justify the minhag. The answer is, you have to sit in the Sukkot on Shmini Atzeres. So the question is, somebody asked a question. Do you take Arba Minim without a bracha? So you know, by Sukkah, Yesuvi Yasvina Baruch Olam Brachina. By Arba Minim, do you take him without a bracha on Shmini Atzeres? Okay, you shouldn't be in blank stares. You've been adults long enough to know. Of course not. And the answer is you don't do it mistama. They weren't misakin at all in this case because it's going to be mezalzo b'yom tabachor because you're making it look like it's still sukkis. But I think that the totza of that is that there's no sake of the yom when it comes to the Arba Minim. By the Arba Minim, we refer to its original din that this is considered not a sfeika d'yoma, that we're b'kin, you know, b'kin b'kiva d'yarcha, and for the mitzvah, the arba minim alone, we do not observe a sfeika d'yoma, which is why all the, really, if that's the case, then all the psulim that are puzzle on Yom Tov Rishon, you're not going to be machmir on Yom Tov Sheni, the second day of Sukkot and Chutz La'aretz. No?
Is it possible that you might be able to make a distinction regarding sfeika d'yoma on the historical aspects of the holiday and the agricultural ones, and maybe only historical ones would apply to that?
You're giving a different reason as to why. That's the mind being the Zaz and Yom Tabach, right? I can see what you're saying. The Svara would be that anything by its very definition is essentially tied to Mikdash. When there was a Mikdash, there was no Sfeika d'yoma. Could be. That could be why. That might be a more aesthetically appealing reason than my suggestion of not being Mizalzal and Yom Tabach. Yeah.
Let's say we had a Beit HaMikdash that was rebuilt when we take this Lulav Esrog Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz
La'aretz. I don't know the answer to that question, but I've always wondered what would very firm Jews do if they made Aliyah L'Rega and were bringing Karbanos, would they still keep Yom Tov Sheni Shog Aliyah L'Rega? I don't know. Okay. Anyway. All right. So the Gemara says that... that wants to know why is it that a gazal is pasul on Yom Tov Sheni and the rest of Sukkot. So Amar of Yochanan Mishum by Yochai Mishum Dahava Mitzvah Havalei Mitzvah Bavadera. Shenemar, Vavesem Gazul Vesapiseach Vesacholeh. So Malachi was criticizing the Jewish people because they brought the garbage as karbanos. And it's not nice. You're going to go to a host, someone's hosting you for Shabbos, so you don't bring them, wilted flowers. And so it's better not to bring them anything than to bring them wilted flowers. So they were bringing all the Bali Munim as karbanos. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was not happy. So he complains that you bring the gazul, the piseach, and the choleh. And the Gemara says, gazul dumi the piseach. Ma piseach les leitakan. That once the animal has a permanent lame, and it's leg, there's no fixing it. Af gazul les leitakan. There's no way of fixing a carbon that's gazul. So the Gemara now explains further. Lo shtal lefneyesh, lo shtal la'afayesh. And it means, if you say that les leitakan, that means under no circumstances. If you steal an animal, you can never bring it as a carbon. So the question is, the Gemara says it's mashma even after Yeyush. So just a step back for one moment. What is Yeyush? So the first instance we all learned about Yeyush, probably most of you, if you went to a very traditional yeshiva upbringing, you learned Eilu Metzias. So you learn that's the principle of Yeyush. Yeyush means that if you are owner, you are entitled to an object, and you lost the object, and I find the object, if you've already had Yeyush, you are no longer the owner. It becomes Hefka before it reaches my hands, and I'm allowed to keep the object. If, however, I pick up the object first, and only subsequently you have Yeyush, so Yeyush doesn't work. Yeyush doesn't work, as we like to say, when it is still Rishus Baylam. I used to always tell this story. I think there was a happy ending to the story, but many, many years, over 20 years ago, when we moved into our house, so in our move, there was some jewelry that got lost. And it was lost for a long time. We didn't know what had happened to it. So the question is, what if somebody had walked in to our house and discovered in a drawer there was the jewelry that we weren't able to find? So they're going to walk out and say, oh, that's my jewelry. Why? Because we lost the jewelry, and then we had Yeyush. And so you keep the lost object. So the answer is that's wrong. The reason it's wrong is because Yeyush only works once the object is no longer b'shus b'ayim. So therefore, had we dropped the jewelry in the street, and someone found it, and we had Yeyush, so the Yeyush would have worked. But since it was still in our house, it was in our possession, Yeyush doesn't work b'shus b'ayim. When I pick up a lost object for you before you have Yeyush, so at that stage, the reason why Yeyush doesn't work is because when I pick up an object that you lost and you haven't had Yeyush yet, what's my din? What is my status? I am a shomer on your behalf. It's an achlokas amarayim, whether shomer veder, shomer chinam, or shomer sacham, achlokas rabban or yozer. But regardless, I am a shomer for you, and when I am a shomer for you, and I am not contesting ownership of the object, I'm not refusing to give it back, it is considered bishuscha, and Yeyush doesn't work when it's bishus violin. It has to leave bishus violin in a sex legamre in order for Yeyush to work. Yeyush works not only by Aveda in theory, it may work by Gezel as well. So here in Bava Kama, there's a Machlokas Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba made a claim, Rabba assumed that Yeyush kibi, Yeyush alone is Kona. It means, I steal an object, I steal Hillel's Gemara. And Hillel figures he's never going to get it back. He doesn't know who stole it, I'm too much of a bully, he doesn't want to pick a fight with me. So basically he's Miyai. So Rabba assumes that Yeyush kibi is Kani, but he's not sure whether that's Midin Yeyush, Midin Daraisa, or it's a Tachana Darabana. Rav Yosef says, what are you talking about? Not only is it not Kona Daraisa, it's not Kona at all. And we have the task in that way. We pass the Yeyush Kedi Lo Kani, that when I steal the object from you, Yeyush only works after, we say in this case, when it's Bala Yadi Beheter. Conceptually, it may be something very similar. When I steal an object from you, and I want to step back, we need to understand this for a lot large part of the sugya. I steal Hillel's Gemara, okay? Hillel takes me to Beis Din, okay? And an Alter and a Keser and Daniel are the Dayan, okay? We're on the Merkeset of the Beit Midrash, the Machane Stam, okay? And you are the Dayan of sitting in judgment on me, okay? And now the question is the following. Okay, you find me guilty. So what do I have to do for Hillel? What do I do? Alter, you can't answer. You got the answer this morning. What do I have to pay Hillel? How much is the Gemara worth? $18? So you say, so it means I can keep the Gemara and give you $18. Is that right?
It depends. If you did a certain shinui.
So the answer is, I have to pay you back the Gemara. Why? The answer is, v'shinus ha'gzeila sher gozal k'ein sher gozal. The pshat in the pasuk already means, if I steal an object from you, I have to return that object. What happens if I steal an object from you and lightning strikes the object and incinerates it? Or I run over it with a car? Or I just break it? Or, you know, what, something like that. So I can't do Heshiva Sa'zela Asher Gazal anymore. Why? Because it doesn't exist. In other words, while the object is extant, it belongs to Hillel. While the Gemara is extant. If I take the Gemara and I cut it up into pieces and I make, you know, confetti out of it, it's not a Gemara anymore. And therefore, I can't return the Gemara to him. And Bal Karcha, even if he wants the pieces of paper, I'm not mechuyav to give it back to him. I have to pay him money. I have to pay him. I have to make sure he gets back the value, that amount of value. Okay, that's the din by Gezel. When I steal your object, it still belongs to you. You have title to it. If I make a shinoi, why don't I have to return the object to you? Because it doesn't exist anymore. It's a different object. So that's all the sugyos talk about in Parak Merubah. Shinoi Maiseh, Shinoi Hashem, and so on and so forth. And Shinoi Rishus is unique in its own right. That's not a question. Shinoi Rishus is more parallel to what we're talking about, which is, I steal Hillel's Gemara. He thinks he's never going to get it back. I now sell it to Gail. So now I made a Shinoi Rishus. I give it to Gail. So the truth is, there may be some requirement that... So in this particular case, if he had Yeush, Yehuda can say to him, sorry, Hillel, it's my Gemara. Why? Because after he had Yeush, Yehuda then took possession of it. When it enters his possession after Yeush, he acquires it fully. Why am I the Gazlam or the Ganav not Kone the Gemara be Yeush? The answer is because it was Nichnas Lo Shusi Kodem Yeush. The same way the Aveda, you're not Kone, if it's Nichnas Lo Shuso Kodem Yeush. You're only Kone Aveda be Yeush when the Yeush happens first, and then I pick up the object. Yes, sir.
Does that mean that selling something is making a Shinoi on it?
No. Should we call it Shinoi Rishus? But really what it means in that case is that Yeush plus change of possession, or Yeush before it comes in, if you've given up hope on an object, your relationship to that object is sufficiently weakened that now when I make a kinyan on it, it becomes mine, the Ganav. Anytime a Ganav, the way it works is when a Ganav steals something, he makes a kinyan on it. What does that mean, though? He has to return the object. If I steal your car, okay, I make a kinyan on it, and let's say I steal your car and I move it one parking space. And now a huge bolt of lightning comes down and incinerates everything, you know, within 50 feet around. Even if I hadn't moved your car, it would have been toast. But the din is, I'm chayav to pay you for the car. Why? Because I made a kinyan gzela on it. It's not mine that I can keep it and not return it to you when you demand it back, but I'm kone as a gazlan, I'm chayav in all onsim. That's called the kinyan gzela.
So it's like a partial kinyan.
Correct.
You're responsible for any damages that come to it.
Correct. Another way that it's a partial kinyan is the following. It's a machlokes, but I believe we paskin. If I steal your animal, and I have possession of it right now, I cannot, and you haven't had yeush, let's say, I cannot be machfish the animal. Why not? And you can't machfish the animal. You know why? Not your rishus. Ish kiyakdish es beso kodesh, ma beso birshuso, af kol birshuso. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, gozal, I think behema, my kinyan has partially weakened your rishus on it. If I mentioned this before, Bahavla, if I am a shomer for you and I'm not contesting that it's your object, you can be makdish the object while I'm holding on to it. Why? Because I'm not withholding it from you. But if I'm a gazlan and not giving it back to you, then both of us cannot be makdish. You because it's not your rishus, me because it's not mine. Once you have Yeush, that further weakens the issue. So when Yehuda buys it, he acquires full title to it. If he buys it from me before Yeush, al pi din Torah, it still belongs to you. The only situations in which he may keep it are situations in which takonas hashuk applies. That's a sugya in Bava Kamma.
So the case of the Gemara then is if someone steals the object, then the owner is mi'ayish it. And then he sells it to someone else, so I don't quite understand.
Well, in the case of the Gemara, no. The case of the Gemara initially, by the carbon, is the assumption that I steal an animal, and I cannot bring that animal to call carbon, whether you have or haven't had yeush subsequent to the fact. I want to talk about that more in a moment. It's a very important machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. Just a word in terms of your learning. You should be learning everything that I'm saying. But if those of you wonder what I put on a bechina, and the bechina, I expect you know the shock and tire of the Gemara. And if I may, you know, the Tosafim that I sent you in the email the ones I truly want you to look at, I will talk about them and share. And those are the things that you should know. Beyond that, a lot of the information I'm providing you is precisely for Bekiyas to sort of ground you broadly. But I'm not going to, when it comes to, I know the bechina is not that important anyway, but in terms of what you want to do chazar on and know, some things are more important than others. So that's the Yishak and Tari Gemara. But I want to expose you to sort of some of the broader concepts that are involved here. Okay, so there's a question. Avram?
So then, in what case exactly do we have a habamina that, that the stolen lula would be able to work?
You might have thought that if you're Miyash and I'm Kona, and I'm gonna for the moment say the way Rashi reads is that the Gemara is assuming here that Yeosh is Kani. Rabbi Yochanan is assuming Yeosh Kidi is Kani, like Rabba and Baba Kama. And nonetheless, the carbon is no good. So the question is, if I'm Kona the animal, because you had Yeosh on it, and I'm Machdashit, or I'm Kona the Lulav, because you had Yeosh on it, and now I pick it up and I'm going to wave it, you know, with a slavus, so why is it possible? The answer is, because even though I was Kona, it's Mitzvah Bababera. That's what Rashi seems to be Rashi's assuming, okay, in reading the Gemara. In other words, the point by Karban is that by Karban, Gezel doesn't work. Okay, the Gemara here says the Gemara quotes. We're going to quote one pasuk Mikem. It's a little. I don't want to deal with which pasuk in the Gemara quotes. Tosas the Ramas or Ki has a long discussion about which is the real pasuk. But the bottom line is the Gemara says that Gezel by a Karban will not work whether you have, the owner has or has not had Yeosh. And the question is, well, why is it no good? So I understand that if I'm Makdish the Karban, or if I be Makdish it's before you have Yeosh, of course it's no good as a Karban because it's not mine. Is that Shemei Yechol Makdish? Is that Meshe Ener Shelow? Like that's really, principle number one. That's the most basic principle. But after Yeosh, why not? If Yeosh is Kani, the answer is because it's Mitzvah Bavera. So it sounds from the Gemara that Yeosh is Kani, and still it's no good. And that's, Rashi's not explicit, but that's what it sounds like from Rashi. It sounds like even if, though you hold, Yeosh Kedi is Kani. Yeosh Kedi is Kani means the following. I steal Hillel's Gemara, and Hillel has Yeosh, then the Gimel Dayanim say to me, you're chayiv to pay, but you don't have to give him back the Gemara. Why? Because he was Miyayish, and you're Kona. So we don't paskin that way. We paskin Yeosh Kedi is low Kani. But that's what the Gemara seems to be assuming here. The problem is, number one, we don't assume that way. Number two, Rav Yochanan doesn't hold Yeosh Kedi as Kani, if you learn the Sugya Samruba, which is what bothers the Rishonim. So Tosos comes up with a very, very interesting Chiddush, and is actually in some ways not so very well rooted in our Sugya, which is the following. Tosos says, if I steal an animal, and I make a Kinyan Lagamre, Yeosh Kedi is not Kani. But if I steal an animal, and I am Kona the animal somehow, with a full kinyan, let's say because I make a shinu hashem in the animal, however that happens. Okay, the Gemara rejects it, but the Gemara has a suggestion: gonav tlev v'nasa ayil, egel v'nasa shor. That maybe you're konav because that's a shinu hashem. It used to be a shepsela, now it's a ram. Right? It used to be a calf, now it's a bull. The Gemara in the end, I think, says it's not called a shinu hashem. You know why? Because an ayil ben yomo is called an ayil. How do you know that an ayil ben yomo, if in first one day born, it's still called an ayil? Because Yaakov says to Lavan, ve'eleitzom chal lo achalti. Ayil hu d'lo achal, avot le'achal. What was Yaakov bragging? Of course, the animals he would have eaten would have been a little sheep that Lavan would have known that would have been born. So the Gemara says it's not really a shinu hashem. But if you had came up with a case where you make a shinui of some kind by an animal, then you're genuinely kona, so then if you mouth the shit, it's kasher as a karban. Now, I'll tell you actually the simple way of doing it. I steal an animal from you, Avram, or from Hillel, I'm sorry, I steal the Gemara's turn into an animal, and I sell it to Avram. After I stole it from Hillel, he had Yeosh. When I sell it to you, that's called Yeosh plus Shinu Rishus. You are now the proud owner of this animal. In such a case, you can bring that animal, it will be kosher as a carpet. Why? So Tosa says, because, and what's the difference between that and the case of the Gemara? In the case of the Gemara, I stole Hillel's animal. Hillel had Yeosh. Now, when I makdish the animal, the hekdesh is chal. You know why? Because it's a shinui rishus. It's like, it's the shinui rishus, the kinyan, boim ke'echad. It happens at the same time. But since when I was makdish it, that was the avera being finally motzied from his rishus, the animal is kadosh, and it's got a psul, and it can't be brought as a karban. So, if the kinyan on the arba minim that makes me the full owner does not take place before I'm actually doing the mitzvah, then when I'm doing the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah rabba avera. If, however, a shinui, let's say we make a shinui maisa on the things before I do the mitzvah, and I'm kona legamre b'shinui maisa, so now when I pick it up, I'm a kai in the mitzvah. Why? Because it was my object before the mitzvah started. It turns out that most Rishonim hold you still can't make a bracha on it. You don't say the mitzvah, but you can't make a bracha. It's both seh bereich and Hashem. I'll talk about that when we get to the maskana of the sugya. Yes, hello.
Would hekdesh really be a shinui rishus? Because, I mean,
Yes.
Even though you're swearing off from your shoot, technically,
Let me answer because the pashtus is the way the Gemara says is that meikara tura the ruvein and hashtas tura the I'm paraphrasing not the tura the gavala. The question. Let me give you the case where it would be. There's a very important machlokas harishonim about this question. Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim. Let me give the following case. Let's say you took an animal and you matish it as an adava. You said hareza ola, not hareza but hareza ola. At that point, is it your animal? What happens if the animal drops dead? Do you have to bring another carbon?
Yeah.
No. Hareze ze'ola. Not harelai ola, hareze ze'ola. Nedava, not a neda. In that case, certainly you understand why it's a shina rishus. It was originally your ox, now it's God's ox. If the ox drops dead before you bring us a carbon, too bad, God. Go find yourself another ox. Right? That's the way it goes. If it's harelai, then you have an obligation anyway, you know, to replace that. So there's what to talk about. Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction by Dal Vehe between Kachim Shechai Bachris and Kachim Shechai Bachris. But if not, let's leave that aside for the moment. Okay, so that is the position. So Tosos' position, is, and it's clear from the continuation of the Gemara, the Avankari, right? What was the whole concern by the Avankari? Make sure that your Kona Legamre, you know, when it comes into your Rishus. Right? In other words, if the land happened to be stolen land, and the Hadassim growing on it happened to be, but really belonged to the Jew, if you, the Avankari, cut the Hadassim, so granted the Jew had Yeush already, but now when you are, when you, but it wasn't out of his Rishus yet, the Karka and the Hadassim were still Rishus Yisrael. Now when you take it, you're stealing it. So it's Gezel in your hands. So if that's the case, you want to make sure that the guy cuts it. So when the guy cuts it from the ground, if it's stolen karka, we don't assume it's valid. If you knew the ground was stolen karka, you know you're not allowed to buy the avankari from the guy, of course. Why? Because you're not allowed to buy stolen goods from the thief. It's just a chashash that maybe the karka is stolen, and therefore, if the guy cuts it from the ground, then you have, the guy is the one who makes the kinyan gazela. There is Yeush, and now when it, the Avankari buys it from the guy, it's Yeush plus Shin Rishus. It belongs to the Avankari Legame. Yes? No?
If you can't buy it from the thief, then why does Rashi need to say that the Shema Otsukarim Yisrael Hava? Should it just be
Shema? That's all. In other words,
no,
a Hashak.
If Rashi's living in Yisrael, if there's anyone's
car. That's in Shulchan Aruch, we don't assume the distinction. The Rashi says, I think Mishnah writes a favorite in the Biur Halacha. He points out that he doesn't talk about this Rashi. He just says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He says even Chutz La'aretz the din is the same. It doesn't matter that Mistama, most land in Chutz La'aretz belongs to a guy. So even if this guy stole, he's talking about the guy. Mishnah Berurah says it doesn't make that makes no difference. Right? We assume there's no difference. I'm not going to comment on why Rashi says it. There are a number of Rashis in Shas which raise some eyebrows as to why Rashi seems to make a distinction. And I know the Gemara sometimes makes distinctions between non-Jews, but usually not in not the way we postulate in Gezel. So there is no distinction in that case. No.
I don't understand, according to Tosfot, that was the case of Lulav HaGazel. From what I understand, we said in the case of Karban, the mitzvah Baba Avera, the fact that the very mitzvah that you did is inherently an Avera. You stole and were Makdish at the same time. How would you have that by a Lulav?
No. Tosis is just saying that when the Tosis is saying that by a korban, the hektesh is a pogum hektesh. It's not a proper kedusha that the animal has. In other words, it's kadosh enough that that you can't do anything with it anymore. But the kedusha, he would say, is pogum or paguma, because in the maisa hektesh, at the time of the maisa hektesh, it wasn't yours yet. It became yours along at the same time as you're being makdishit. The analog, by Tosus has to explain the carbon case specifically because it involves a shina rishus. By lulav, it's simple. I steal your lulav, and then you're miyayish, right? And so at this point, I'm not kona legamre. I have a kinyan gzela on it. Maybe you can't be makdashit because it's eina b'shuscha, but it's not mine. You know. Whereas if I stole your lulav and then I started trimming it, you know, down, and I made a physical shina, then I'm kona with shina rishus. You don't even need yayish. And then at this point, before. When I pick it up to do the mitzvah, it's mine already. That would at least a mitzvah you'd be mekayim.
That's not accounting for a mitzvah about the avera.
What's that?
That's not accounting for a mitzvah about the avera with the carbon. Because wouldn't that still be an issue? Let's say you did do a shinoi, maaser or shinoi shem on the animal.
No. So the assumption is that if you somehow couldn't create a shinoi on the animal, according to us, before you makdish it, then the carbon's kosher. right? And by the lulav, the same thing is true, right? So by the lulav, if I'm not kohen, but if I'm not kohen of the lulav, so and it's still considered guzzle, so on the first day everybody agrees it's possible, it's not lochem. The question is on the subsequent days where lochem is not a requirement, where you're yotzei with a shaul, let's say the bar of lulav with permission. Why are you not yotzei? So Rabbi Yochanan says, because mitzvah b'aveir.
And that would never happen the first day, though. It would just not be.
It would be lochem. Everybody agrees. In other words, it's possible not because of mitzvah b'aveir, or not because of mitzvah b'aveir alone, but because it actually doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of requirement of lochem. Daniel?
On the first day, if you do a shino in the lulav, wouldn't it still be a mitzvah b'aveir?
No. The according to the Tosfos, I don't know what, I don't want to say Rashi disagrees, because it's hard to base the continuation of the Gemara. There was a havamina somewhere. I don't know if it's in Tosfos. Let's say if it wasn't, the shino didn't take place before Yom Tov. Maybe when Yom Tov comes, that it's too late for the shino. But I think those things don't. All that matters is if the shino takes place before you pick up the lulav, before you pick up the mitzvah, it'll be fine. It becomes yours, legamre. It's no longer mitzvah b'aveira for the purposes of passing in the mitzvah. And maybe, I didn't see the Baal Tosfos, but in the Shulchan Aruch, it says you can't make a bracha on it. You can't make a bracha on it. Even though you were kona legamre and you're makai in the mitzvah, you can't make a bracha on. The basis for that is what?
Why is it not a mitzvah b'aveira?
So again, you can have the claim of Tosfos. I would say the following: there's a Yerushalmi in Pesachim which says the following: if you have matzah, which is gezula or tevel, you're not yotze. What happens if Yom Tov is Shabbos, and I carry the matzah from the bakery to my house on Shabbos through the Rosh Hashanah, and I eat it. Am I yotzei? So in a Yushalmi that the Briskers would absolutely, totally love, the Yushalmi says, it says you yotzei. And what's the difference? It says, taman hi guf aveira, whereas hacha hu avar aveira. One's a psul in the chefta, and the other is just you did a maisa. I'm not going to say psul in the gavra, but you did an aveira. But it's not inherent in the object. So it may be, Tosus doesn't quote that here. I suspect Tosus does quote this somewhere, probably in Pesachim. But we would say that when the object is still not fully mine, in full title, so at that point, that's a psul in the chefta, and you're not yotzei the mitzvah, even if you don't need lachem. Whereas once I'm kona legamri, so I did an aveira, and I'm a bad person, but technically speaking, I'm yotzei. So it may be that I can't make a bracha. It's right, you know, it's for example, stealing money so you can sit and learn Torah. So it's awesome. There's no heter in doing that. It is morally and spiritually a mitzvah b'aveira. Are you not yotzei the mitzvah Talmud Torah for the day when you learn only because you stole that money and now you can support your family, but you can sit and learn? So you're a Russian, a manuval, but it doesn't mean you won't yotzei the mitzvah Talmud Torah. For whatever it's worth. I mean, I'm not sure how much the mitzvah Talmud Torah is worth under those circumstances. Some people don't seem to understand that just because you give, you know, money to a yeshiva doesn't mean you're allowed to steal money and be dishonest in business. But it seems to be a long-standing minhag Yisrael to ignore that, unfortunately. And by the way, it's across the spectrum. It doesn't belong only to one stripe of orthodoxy. Fool yourself not. Yes?
So, what if you do an aveira at the same exact time as you're doing a mitzvah? Let's say you make a shavua or something, not to eat stuff. And you mean spelt matzah, yotzei the mitzvah. Whereas, not in neder, because neder would be in the group of the object, the one you use discussion analogy. So you could, it's not
I only want to go into the neder shul, so the point is that object is fundamentally prohibited to me. And therefore, I don't want to call shuas and garmi, chefzer is God, but don't bring that in. I can't eat that object, it's an inherent soul for me. Eat that object. I don't care about. I know in this case, I don't think it makes a difference whether it's asamish beneder, asamana beneder, or when I shuai won't eat the matzah. I don't think it's different.
Do you think it's still be mitzvah?
I think so. Yeah. The way Tosus formulates it, it's a little bit time dependent. There's timing matters.
If the aveira is happening at the moment you're doing it, it's a problem.
Right. And I don't think Tosus would say though that if I'm walking through the Rosh Hashanah with my matzah, munch. Even though it's happened at the same time, they're not inherently connected, right? I don't think Tosfos would say. Okay, don't get stuck. Okay, can you at least torture me only 4 days of the week, not the Kiyas day?
Hello. So, could you suggest that the mitzvah of aveira stems from
doing a mitzvah avera as you're doing the mitzvah. It's,
yes, but it has to be connected. It can't be that, you know, I'm waving my lulav while on one hand I'm eating a pork sandwich.
Well,
right? That's not going to be mitzvah avera.
The only thing that could explain the whole thing, because by Pesachim, you're eating tevel, which is the avera.
Correct.
And also, by the way, you could suggest, and again, this would limit the case a lot, that the lakicha is the avera because...
Well, I'm using your object, which is stolen.
Right. You're committing gezel at the same time as taking lulav. It's like
okay.
Do a lakicha.
But if you hadn't committed the gezel, you wouldn't have the object to do the mitzvah with.
No, I'm saying that, but the act of lakicha is itself an act
of gezel.
What
if you do it before sukkot?
So that would leave exception.
Kester, what was your question?
By the Avan Kare, why would them cutting the branches? I know that the part later on in the Gemara where it's talking about, oh, it's not for you selling the branches to other Jews, it's about
the
Avan Kare themselves. But why would it still be considered a stolen object when they cut it off themselves if they're not the ones who stole the land?
So the answer is, so that's the point, that the land is not stolen. You can't steal land. I'm going to talk about that, but I don't forget to it today, on Lamed Beis. Karka is not nizelas. If I come and I throw you off your land, okay, the land is still yours. It's still in your reshus. You can be makdish that land. Metaltum is not the case. Metaltum is the metaltum is whoever has in their physical possession. Karka is always reshus by them. There might be, Yushalmi may have a category of how that could change. But ordinarily speaking, as long as everybody knows it's your land, said karka in an exelus. It's a machlokas atanarim rav lezim nechacham when you saw in lamed aleph, but we assume karka in exelus. So the point is that even when I throw you off your land, and now I have the hadasim there, it's still, you know, as long as the hadasim are attached to the ground, they're still in your rishus. They're still in your rishus.
So it's like the lankari would be stealing directly from the people who originally
correct.
Belonged
to the land. And Tosfos has a very interesting kasha. There is on Amud Beis. I think I asked you to look at that Tosfos. There's a principle, famous machlokas. Again, if you learn, I went to a relatively Haredi yeshiva as a child. So we started the fifth grade Gemara. We learned the Eilam Etzius was the first Gemara we learned. So you learned a very famous machlokas of Abayin Rava, Yeyosh Shalomidas. What is Yeyosh Shalomidas? It means the following: you lose an object, but you don't know you lost the object. If you knew you lost the object, you would say, Vayle Nichisaron Kis. I'm never going to get it back. But you didn't know about it. And now I go and I pick up the object. And now, the question is, you find out that the object was lost, and then you have Yeish. So remember, I told you that Yeish doesn't work if it happens after it's Bishas Vailim. Meaning, I pick it up for you, and I'm Mechuyev Lahatzer Aveda, because you didn't have Yeish yet, and so therefore I'm your Shomer, and I just have to give it back to you. So the question is, what happens if you didn't have Yeish, but you would have had Yeish had you known? Yeish Shalomidas.
Does it retroactively...
Correct. It's a famous machlokas Abayin Rava. It's one of the six cases of the Yal Kagam. It's the Yud of the Yal Kagam. Yeish Shalomidas, we pass like Abayin, lo have Yeush. Now, so that's why the Gemara says, why am I allowed to pick up money in the street? Forget that it has no sinim, but why am I allowed to keep it? After all, maybe the Bailim don't know about it. So that's why the Gemara says that Adam also in the Mashmesh Bekiso Tamim. People are always checking their wallet. They know whether they lost money or not. I don't know if that applies by paper money, by, you know, big, heavy coins. You know, when the 10 coins fall out of your pocket, it's like, I feel very light. But whatever it is, the bottom line is that so Yeish Shalomidas doesn't work retroactively. Tosfos asks Akasha here. Tosfos says that when the Bailim had Yeush originally, they could have had Yeush. I steal your karka. I'm a bully. You're not going to fight with me. You know, no one's going to help you. You don't think you're going to get your karka back. But the Yeush doesn't mean anything. Why? Because the Yeush doesn't work when it's still in your possession. Now, somebody cuts it from the ground. So Tosfos says that why is it Yeush? You don't know that somebody cut it from the ground. That's called Yeush Shalomidas. So there never was Yeush. The answer Tosfos gives is no, there was Yeush. The Yeush, in effect, is in Chal, because it's still in Rishuscha. But when you have Yeush, and Yeush is still in effect, and it's just in Rishuscha, then we can talk about it.
It's not treating Yeush as just this legal term. It's Yeush.
It is a physical state, but it has no legal meaning as long as it's still in your Rishuscha.
But it sort of like creates a Yeush field on your karka, and never anything is separate from your karka, your Yeush, on the object.
Correct. Right. Hello?
How would the opinion that says karka... Sorry, karka and an exile. explain the various aspects of Cheska Karka, where it's kind of like establish your ownership over the land. It's yours.
No, Cheska Shalashana only works. Kochazaka Sheini Matayne, the Chazaka. Cheska Shalashana is a raya. You have to say, I bought the land for you, but I lost the shtar. If you say, Lo Omer Li Davar Adam Eolam, Mishnah says we throw you off the land.
But if it looks like you own it.
That's only evidentiary. That's not actually transfer. Cheska Shalashanim, you're only kone. It's a raya that it's yours, and it's a substitute for having a shtar. You're not kone with Cheska Shalashanim. The only chazaka you kone in karka is when the bailim give you rishus to make it. The exception, leaving out as a Yushalmi, but we're not going to get through today, there is such a thing as kibush mohama. That's a separate issue. Like amar moav tiru besicham, that's a different category. But not under the category kibush mohama, mohama karka in exalus. And it doesn't matter. The only thing you can do is bring a raya that you bought it or that it was given to you as a gift, but not you can't be koneh through that. Yes.
Why do we assume that the land is stolen to the extent that you can't harvest from it, but we don't assume that it's stolen to the extent that you're allowed to, you are allowed to buy the produce of it?
The guy is letting someone, my land, when I take the produce on my land, I don't pay anybody. Right? The guy here, if a guy, Anna, stole the land, he's happy for the owners to come harvest it if they pay him for the produce. Right? I'm not sure I understand, unless I misunderstood your question.
I'm just asking, why... If you're not allowed to harvest the stuff yourself because that would be gezel, then why are you allowed to buy
it? Whoa. I'm very, very careful. I did not. You're asking a different question. So that I want to emphasize. If this land was stolen land, you're not allowed to buy from it having nothing to do with the mitzvah. You're not allowed to buy from it. You can't be the fence for a thief. Agreed. We don't assume that there's an isser in buying the stuff. There's a chashash. There's a chashash that the guy is a gazlan. There's a chashash. It's not enough of a chashash that we say there's an isser gesel and you just can't buy anything from goyim. That's not plausible. But when it comes to the kiyum mitzvah, if we can do things in such a way that just in case if the land were stolen, that you'd be yotzei the mitzvah anyway, we prefer to do it that way. That's why I said earlier, to be very clear, it's usur to buy from the land when you know it's stolen land. That's for sure. We don't know that it's stolen land. It's stomach up. It's not really stolen.
So if he would do the mitzvah with if he harvested himself and did the mitzvah with it, so would we assume that...
The ganav.
Not the ganav.
Anybody, it doesn't matter, because whoever cuts it... You can do something that's a maisa ganeva even though you're not a ganav. In other words, if I take your object, because I thought it was mine, I picked up your gemara by accident, that's geza. I'm not a Russia. I'm not puzzle for Eidos. I'm never going to have a knas and so on. I have to give back to you. Right? It's Geneva Bishogeg. Right? So you can have something which is Geneva where the person doesn't know he's doing Geneva or she's doing Geneva. So if Evankwe go and they cut from this field and it turns out the field is stolen, when they cut that produce, they are stealing right then. Okay? Now, the Yeush happens after the Yeush is chal, but after they've stolen it. It's in Ereshus, so they're not Kona Lagamre. When the Evankwe sell it to me, at that point, I'm kone with yesh, the yesh happened already. The shini rishus, it's mine, the gamre, I'm yotzei the mitzvah. The avankari, however, couldn't be yotzei the mitzvah. That's why whoever it was told them, till the avankari asked the owner of the land to cut the hashanas for you, and then you'd take them.
But we're still not really assuming that it's stolen land.
No, we're not assuming that's
so,
right. It's a hashash. That's all.
If the avankari would use it. We never figure out whether or not
they're
yotze.
Yes, correct. They're yotze. If you didn't know and you never found out otherwise, you are yotze. But he's just giving them eitzah tova. Why you have a suffix? You know, they're not going here in this place who steal land that you're taking a chance. So why take the chance? You can, with really almost no effort, you can get around the problem. Where even if the guy happens to have stolen it, which is a chance, then you still yotze.
But is that really a
suffix?
There's no
suffix. Speak of the rice, that's not. If we're really a bona, I'm pretty sure that if you could quantify a rove, it's a good question, I don't know for sure. Let's say I know that there's a greater than 50% chance that the property you're selling me is stolen property, probably is awesome. In other words, you don't say motzi mechal v'raya there. So, gezel is not only, doesn't only carry financial implications, gezel is an isser. It's aser to steal. You know, the chiddush is that when there's a suffek, a genuine suffek, hamotze mechalav arayim, we don't say it's us for me to keep it because it's a suffek guess. Oh, it's a famous, you know, hakir and dinim amaros. But when I'm dealing with a situation where I know you're selling me something and there's a greater chance than not that what you're selling me is stolen, I assume that it's usur. Just like if I'm, I have a piece of food here and there's a greater chance than not that it's treif, I'm not allowed to eat it. That's what I would assume. Okay, so the Gemara continues a little bit further. It says, El Alam, Mishun Dava Mitzah Baba Vera. Then the Ad Amashal, Amr of Yochanan, Mishumar Bishumar Yochai, Maitech Siv Kiani Hashem Ohev Mishpat Sone Gazel Be Ola. Mashal Lamelach Basar Adam She Over Abes Amechas. Amr Lavadov, Tunumachas Lamosin. He's passing the tax collector, and he tells the servants, pay a tax on my behalf. So Amr, Amrulo, Valo Kol Amechas Kulo Shalchahu. What's that? You're taking it from your right pocket and putting it into your left pocket. Why bother? Amar lahem mimeni yomadu kol ovrei drachem velov yavrichu atzmen ameches. I have to set an example. Afa kadosh baruch omer ani Hashem sonei gazel bola mimeni yomadu banai veyavrichu atzmen agezel. This is a very, very, very important point that is, while on the mashal itself is not quite as compelling, is a very important point, which is that someone who is in a position of leadership has to be a role model. If you want people to behave in a certain way, so you have to behave that way. If you're not a mensch, don't be surprised when your children are not mentioned, your talmidim are not mentioned, because they'll learn from watching you. It should go without saying that those who enter avodas hakodesh that understand that that being a role model is the first and foremost responsibility. It's the expression "do as I say, not as I do." Doesn't work very well in life. Okay, Itmar Nami Am Rabbi Ami Yavesh Pasul Mitnei Shein Hador Gazel Pasul Mishum Dahavali Mitzvah Babavera. However, Upliga the Rabbi Yitzchak, but there is another opinion. We've gone on and on and on, knowing the Mitzvah Babavera is a problem, and Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees. Now, interestingly enough, the concept of Mitzvah Babavera, according to Rabbi Yochanan, which Pasul the Arba Minim on the remaining days of Yom Tov. There's a machlokus between Tosos here and Tosos and Datesa Ben Aleph, where the mitzvah Babavera is the Raisa psul or only the Rabbanim psul. Obviously, by Lua Ben Esrog, it's only the Rabbanim psul. But the question is it a psul the Oraisa? Now, the truth is, from our Gemara, from the Karban, it certainly sounds like the mitzvah Babavera by Karban is the Oraisa. Tosos, though, is bothered by a question, which is, when the Gemara says later, when the Mishnah said that if you have a sukkah shel avodah zarah, a sukkah which is not a shere de moshe, which is not permanently also necessarily, that your yotze, why is in the mitzvah of avera? So Tosfos says, because there the avera is not enabling you to perform the mitzvah. Because it's not the object is asur banav, but you'd say mitzvah lav lehonos nidnu. The kiyum mitzvah itself is not a hanah. But here, in order to do the mitzvah, you need to do the avera. By the avodah zarah, it has nothing to do with it. It happens to be, it's asur banav. But you don't need to worship an esrog in order to do the mitzvah of arabim with it. So therefore, Tosfos says that that's why the Gemara doesn't apply mitzvah habab avera there. But he thinks that it is a doraisa. He's only bothered by one question, which is why did the Gemara Pesachim say that matzah shel tevel, you're not yotze, because they quote a pasuk from somewhere in the Din of Matzah in the Torah, why don't they just say that it's a mitzvah babavera? Mitzad sheni, the one source that would suggest that mitzvah babavera in fact is really a concept, even you know, when you were, let's say, kone, is the Gemara in Bava Kama that says that if you steal a saav chitin and you grind it up, you make it into flour, you made a full shino, you make it into a dough, and then you mafresh chala, and you're going to make a bracha and a fresh chala, ein zeh mevarech el minay, it's shenemar, boteh berech ni'itz Hashem. It sounds like it really is a psul. So the answer to that might be that psul is only for bracha. There's a difference, you might be yotzei mitzvah, but the idea that you bless God over something that's stealing is revolting. It's just revolting. It's disgusting. So it seems to be machlokas between Tosfos here and Tosfos on Daf Tes, whether or not mitzvah there is a psul daraisa, or psul the rabbana. Yes, no.
If the Gemara here quotes a pasuk from Nach and not from Chumash, why would it be oraita?
So the answer to that might be a Tosfos Dibur Masil Ki Akriv, is there actually maybe three psukim by Karban. One, Mikem, Tosfos claims, is nothing to do with our sugya. The Gemara uses this as a shorthand, but it's not actually the Makar. It could be that Karbano, that Beso, Ishkefish Beso, teaches you that you can't bring the Karban before Yesh. Why? Because you can't be Makdash. It's just not Chal. It's not yours. And in Olah Karbano, below Agazul, may be what teaches you after Yeosh, and that's teaching you the principle of Mitzvah Babavera. It's a binyana from Karban. So the Malkar is not really from Malachi, but the Malkar is actually from a Pasuk in Chumash.
Then why does the Gemara not? Why does the Gemara not mention that?
Tosfos, there are several different observations Tosfos have in different places of Josh. One he talks about here. Sometimes the Gemara quotes the simple pasuk, even if it's not the actual makar. Sometimes the Gemara quotes the beginning of the pasuk, even though it's the last part of the pasuk that's actually the source. And sometimes the Gemara makes up a pasuk, like V'nasana kesef akam lo. Look in Tosfos, I think. Is it beginning Kiddush, beginning Eden? Where you have such a thing, where the Gemara is actually merging two psukim, and it's not spelling out the whole thing for you. So there are a number of places where the Gemara, you have to understand either v'chule there, or the Gemara is quoting, Tosfos here says, suggests that why they use mikem to teach you mikem v'lav videhu, if that's not the makar. The real makar is beso. And mikem teaches you mumar. A mumar can't bring a carbon. Mikem lahotzi es a mumar. Adam mikem, actually. In fact, by the way, that's pshat. Adam ki akrit mikem. It's a modifier misplaced. It's adam. I mean, it's the way biblical people sometimes works. It's adam mikem ki akrit carbon, and that's the drasha of mikem lahotzi es a mumar. Not all of you, only some of you. So Tosfos says, but they quote mikem because that's the easier drasha. That's what Tosfos writes. It's the drasha pshut that even though that's not, that's where I would have learned it from if I didn't have the other pasuk of carbon up. That's all. Or in this case, based on. All right. And then the Gemara has the other position. Upligid Rav Yitzchak, Tarma Yitzchak, by Nachmani, and Mashmul, Loshana, Labiyontov Rishon, Abba Yontov Sheni, Mitov Sheyotze, Bishaul Yotze Nami, Begazel. As long as you don't need Lachem, Gazel is good as well. And then the Gemara asks the Kasha, Masif Rav Nachman, by Yitzchak, Lulav HaGazel, by Yavesh Pasol, Hashaul Kasha. So why does the Mishnah mentioned Gazel and Yavesh. It doesn't mention Shaul. Amos, Ilei Maviyon Tov Rishon. Shaul is Pasal also. Haksiv Lachem. Mishel Lachem. V'hai Lavi Dehu. Ela Lavi Yom Tov Sheni. V'katani Gazel Pasal. Okay. Now the Gemara says, answers. Amar Rava. You know why they changed the gears to Rava Amar? What's the difference between Rava Amar and Amar Rava? It's a general rule. Rava Amar means Rava is disagreeing with what's said before. You present an opinion, then Rava Amar. Amar Rava is not arguing what came before, it's sort of a new statement. So here, Rava is not presenting a new approach, he's giving a teretz. Amar Rava, la'olo miyom tovishon, v'lo mi bai kamar. Lo mi bai yisha'o d'lav videhu, avo gazol ema stam gzei l'yelish bai, l'vo uchi videh dami. You would have said, since most of the time after Gezel, this yeyosh, it's kind of like it's his. So sha'o, you're not going to be yotze on the rest of Yom Tov Rishon, because it's not yours. But Gezel, it kind of is yours. And therefore, you might have thought that you're Yotze, Kamash Malon, you're not Yotze, because of Yom Tov Rishon, because it's still not called Lochem, Kamash Malon. Okay. Fine. The Psach Halacha is a Machlokas HaRishona. In Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Reish Mem Tes, the Mechaber quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says that the psul of Gazel is only on Yom Tov Rishon. There is no psul of Gazel on after Yom Tov Rishon. The Rambam is in, I think, Parakhes, Halacha Tes, Hilchos, Shofar, Sukkah, Lulav. The Rush and the Rif quote our Mishnah Kitzurasa without any qualifications, leading the Mechaber himself in the Beis Yosef to assume that the Rif and the Rush Paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, not like the Rambam does like Shmuel. It's a machlokas to Ramban and the Balamor. The Balamor paskins like Shmuel, Lakula. Ramban says absolutely not. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. The Mechaber, very strangely, those of you who learned halacha with me previously know that the Beis Yosef, for those who are not familiar, I'm sure most of you are, but maybe never encountered it. The Beis Yosef is the Mechaber's major work. That's his magnum opus. That was his commentary on the Torah, and that's his real Sefer Psah. The Shulchan Aruch are just the crib notes on the Beis Yosef. One of the rules that Rav Yosef Karo gives in his Hakdama to the Beis Yosef is that when it comes to paskin halacha, how do we paskin? Rabosai, you were here last year. I'm going to choke you if you don't tell me. Yair?
Rove of the Rush.
Rove of the big three. The Rush, the Riff, and the Rambam. You can imagine why the Rambam didn't like that. It's stacking the deck in favor of the Sfaradi Rishonim. But that's his rule. He seems to violate it here, although it's not explicit in the Riff and the Rush. Like Rabbi Yochanan, the fact that they quote the Mishnah Kitzuraso and don't qualify and say that Guzzle is Kasher V'Yom Tov Sheni, even the Beis Yosef acknowledges it sounds like that Guzzle sounds like a Paskin of Rabbi Yochanan. The Rambam Paskins like Shmuel, as some of the Gaonim did, for some reason, the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch and Sifhei in Taf Reish Bam Tes, Paskins like the Rambam. The Rambam comes along and says, we don't Paskin that way, we Paskin that Guzzle is Paskin all Asukas. Another very interesting issue is a shita that I don't know where it comes from, really. The Aruch Chaim is quoted by the Beis Yosef, and the Chaver quotes it as a second daya in the first Seif, that only the Ganav and the Gazman are not Yotze, but somebody else could be Yotze Biyoto Rishon, but everybody says you don't make a bracha on it. But I don't think that's really not, I think, how the Mechaber actually paskins. And Ashkenazim, we certainly assume you're not Yotze with a Lulav HaGazel. If you didn't make a Kinyan with Shina Maisa, Shina Hashem, whatever it is, we'll talk about, God willing, next Sunday. Although there probably won't be Shir next Sunday because the investiture. So the next Sunday that we have, and there may not be Shir the following Sunday anyway, either, because we are supposed to go to Houston. But I don't know if, as you can imagine, when or not that's actually happening. The next big day we have Bikias, we're going to go. We'll see on the base and deal with that those issues. But bottom line is that if a lulav agazel, the Rambam paskins is pasul all 7 days. Not only that, but of course you don't make a bracha. You're not yotze. Okay, Zach. Okay, hold on. Good guys, hold on 1 second because I need to talk about a couple of these people. Okay. Sounds like it. In terms of being ma'akev the kiyum mitzvah, the answer is probably yes. I would also say it depends. Actually, I'm only going to say is the Rambam holds by lulav. The Chachamim didn't passel the mitzvah on the latter part of Sukkot. That's all I'll say for the moment. Yona. Yes.
What a good sheep are you can difference if I steal a sheep from Philip and I hold on to the sheep for about a month and I'm taking care of it and the sheep tends towards me now as its owner. Like it just follows me around. Is that like a sheep in the way?
I don't think so. I think they were talking about fattening up the sheep, causing the sheep to become thinner or something like that, or things that they talk about as shina and maisa in the sheep. The problem is that can be restored. Okay.